Last week, after worship was done, we gathered as a congregation, made some decisions. Specifically, we selected our leadership for next year. Some of that leadership had actually been selected last year or the year before, as our leaders tend to be on a three-year rotation. But each year, about a third of our leadership rolls off for a much-needed break, a rest, a sabbatical, if you will, from service. And we must go about the business of selecting new leadership to fill that void. The process for this is embedded in our Constitution, our bylaws. Our current board chair, around late July, early August, will select a nominating chair, usually by grabbing whichever poor fool couldn't get away in time, and ask them to lead a nominating committee. The nominating chair selects their committee, and they go about the task of asking people to serve as elder or deacon or trustees. Nominating chair, once that difficult task is done, notifies the board that they've filled the leadership positions, and it comes before the congregation to be voted on, as it did last week. Next August, of course, we will repeat the whole process all over again, as we have every summer and fall for a generation and a generation, and then some. These new leaders, along with our existing leaders, will be asked to fill committees, serve on the board, fill roles and responsibilities, attend to the business of church. It's a fairly routine tradition. There weren't really any surprises. My guess is some of you perhaps didn't even bother to look at the entire list of who we were nominating. You simply trusted the good folks that had put the process together to that point and said, sure, good, absolutely. But now that the process is complete, now that it is finished for another year, and we move forward into this new year that is almost upon us with our new leadership, it begs a question: why? Isaiah 1 is a tough chapter. God is not very happy with God's people. Oh, they are still around. They're still worshiping God. They're still going to synagogue each week. But something is missing. The people, it seems, have fallen into a comfortable routine of faith. They are going through the steps out of habit, more so than dedication. They are saying the words, singing the songs, praying the prayers, attending the special events, everything that is required. But something has changed. And God has noticed. Isaiah comes with a harsh message. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Listen to the teaching of God, you people of Gomorrah. Invoking the city destroyed by God for its faithlessness. What to me, God asks, is the multitude of your sacrifices? I've had enough of burnt offerings. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or lambs or goats. Bringing offerings is futile. Incense is an abomination. Your new moons and appointed festivals, my soul hates. Not a lot of ambiguity in that sentence, really. Not a lot of gray area. I don't think anybody left that particular message from Isaiah going, I wonder how God really felt. Hey, you know all that stuff you're doing? I hate it. Not a little bit either. I hate it a lot. They've become a burden to me, God says. I am weary of bearing them. God sees the people going through the motions, but realizes they are doing it for the motion's sake. They simply robotically plod through the events of their faith without passion, without commitment, without reason. God doesn't want window dressing faith and calls them out on it, telling them to change it today. Learn to do good. Seek justice. rescue the oppressed, defend the orphan, plead for the widow. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be like snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rescue the oppressed. Defend the orphan. Plead for the widow. Yes, yes, you put on a nice worship service. You can cobble together a fine potluck. And nobody organizes a committee like the people of God. But that is not what God asks of you. Do good. Seek justice. Rescue. Defend. Plead. God calls upon God's people to transform lives, to bring the word of God to the world that lives might be changed. That, O mortal, is what God requires of us. Why? Why do we do all of this? To transform lives. Why do we do our ministry and our mission? To transform lives. Why do we gather for committee meetings on the first Tuesday of the month and board meetings on the second Tuesday of the month? To transform lives. When we encounter the living Christ, our lives are no longer the same. When we encounter grace and love and hope and forgiveness and peace, we do not come out of that exchange as we went in. Even if it is just a little bit, we are changed. We are impacted. We are affected by that encounter. Think about the last time that you encountered real grace. Think about the last time you really stepped in it. I mean deep. I mean to the ankle stepped in it, right? Not just this, I kind of scuffed my shoe with it, but no, I stuck my foot all the way in. I screwed up royally. Think about that. Think about that. That mistake, that sin, that inequity that was weighing on you. And then think about that moment that somebody saw past that iniquity and offered you grace. Offered you simple acceptance and love. Saw past all your baggage and warmed your soul for just a moment. Were you not different afterward? Was there not a glow that seemed to stay within you like the last ember of a fall fire that reminded you for the rest of the day that you had encountered something different, something unique, something powerful? That is why. That is why we do this. That is why we are church. That is why we go through this routine every fall of selecting leaders, because we are called to transform lives. So we call upon those among us to say, will you lead us down this path? We want to change lives. Help us to do that. Jesus walked into town and the crowd gathered to see him, to hear him, to simply be close to him. The crowd was so thick, the leaders of the synagogue were there in their fine robes. Civic leaders, aware of Jesus' popularity and influence. Representatives of the Roman government, I'm sure, were checking it out, curious about what impact this man would have on their charges. You know, Jesus could have supped with any of them. They would have all been honored to have him come grace their home for the evening meal. They would have sat around the table, put on a fine feast, discussed important matters of the day, perhaps the impact of the newest harvest on the grain store and how that might influence trade in the region. Perhaps movement of troops that they have seen recently in anticipation of coming conflict and how that might also impact trade. The daily pressures and needs of the populace and its impact on local governing models. But no. No, instead, Jesus stopped, looked up in a tree where a short little tax collector had shimmied up to get a better look at Jesus. And to this little wart on the rump of society, tax collectors, after all, were awful people, horrible people, who lined their pockets at the expense of the populace. To this little man, Jesus said, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." All who saw it, Scripture says, began to grumble. The synagogue leaders, the civic leaders, the Roman government officials began to grumble. "He could have had dinner with any of us. Important people. People who matter. Movers and shakers. And instead, he's gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner." But they did not understand. They did not understand that what Jesus had come to do was change lives, transform lives, and Zacchaeus needed transformation. And notice how it happened. It wasn't that Jesus went to him and said certain words. It wasn't that Jesus had a speech all lined out about why you need God in your life. It wasn't that Jesus had a canned sermon of some kind to offer. Zacchaeus' transformation comes about because Jesus simply goes to be with him. Jesus goes to be with him, and immediately Zacchaeus is like, "I've cheated a lot of people. I'm going to pay them all back and more." And Jesus says, "Salvation. This is why the Son of Man has come." Yes. Yes, absolutely. Roles need to be filled. Committees need to be manned. Jobs need to be completed. Responsibilities need to be taken care of. Trust me, every time I'm here of an evening or night, I am glad we pay the light bill. And I'm glad we have people who pay the light bill. And I'm glad we have people who give money to pay the light bill. Yes, the leaves need to be raked, and those little ankle breaker walnuts and acorns need to be swept up. And Lord knows the potlucks are not going to cook themselves. But we are church. We are disciples of Jesus Christ. And what we do, all we do, is about spreading the good news of Jesus Christ. Taking the Word of God to this world in our lives and actions, changing lives through the power of the Holy Spirit. That is the answer to the question, why? Why? Why do we go through this every fall? Why do we form a nominating committee? Why do we nominate new folks? Why do we have a congregational meeting in October so we can vote on this list? So that we can transform lives. So let's get to it. Beloved in the Lord, we come together now to ordain and install elders, deacons, and trustees in Christ's holy church. Christ alone is the source of all Christian ministry through the ages, calling men and women to serve by the Holy Spirit. We believe and are baptized. We receive a ministry to witness to Jesus as Savior and Lord, and to love and serve those with whom we live and work. We are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. We are the disciples of Jesus Christ. Following Christ's resurrection and ascension, God has given the church apostles, prophets, teachers, deeds of power, gifts of healing, forms of assistance and leadership. Deacons and elders and trustees are called to serve as Christ served. We look to them to be people of spiritual commitment, exemplary life, compassionate spirit, and sound judgment. Elders, deacons, and trustees, together with the minister, form the consistory to lead God's people in proclaiming good news to the poor, righteousness to the nations, and peace among all. The consistory provides for the welfare of the church, stewardship of property and finance, and the spiritual benefit and growth of all Christ's people. Together they enable the whole mission of Marian Christian Church to connect, serve, and grow. Everything in the church will be done faithfully and gracefully when faithful persons are called to office and responsibly fulfill their charge. The congregation has elected the following people to the offices of deacon, elder, and trustee for the year of our Lord, 2017. Please rise and remain standing, if able, when your name is called. To be ordained and installed to the office of deacon, Gilbert Larson, Dave Ramsey, Tammy Ramsey, Walt Bone, Mel Cunningham, Rick Ferguson, Donna McKendry, Jim Walker, and Jackie Watts. To be ordained and installed to the office of elder, Betty Bone, Alan Watts. And to be ordained and installed to the office of trustee, Eddie Reed. Brothers and sisters, before Almighty God, in the presence of this congregation, please answer sincerely these questions by responding, yes, with all my heart. Do you confess together with us in the church throughout the ages your faith in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? If so, please respond, yes, with all my heart.
Yes, with all my heart.
Do you believe in your heart that you are called by Christ's church and therefore by God to this office?
Yes, with all my heart.
To these following questions, when asked, please respond, I will, God helping me. To the deacons first. I now charge, will you faithfully, diligently, and cheerfully manifest God's love and care? Gather and distribute the offerings of God's people. Serve and assist in worship. Minister to the poor and needy, and strive to advance God's reign of justice and peace. If so, please answer, I will, God helping me.
I will, God.
To the elders I now charge, will you faithfully, diligently, and cheerfully study God's word? Oversee the household of faith. Visit and care for the sick and the ailing. Encourage spiritual growth. Maintain loving discipline. And provide for the proclamation of the gospel and the celebration of the sacraments. If so, please respond, I will, God helping me.
I will, God helping me.
Will all those who will be serving in 2017 as elder or deacon or trustee please rise, if able, join these new officers? To all officers, to all officers of Marian Christian Church, elders, deacons, and trustees, please respond, I will, God helping me, to the following questions. Will you be diligent in your study of Holy Scripture and your use of the means of grace? Will you pray for God's people and lead them by your own example in faithful service and holy living?
I will, God helping me.
Will you pledge to seek out God's will for this body of Christ, and will you strive to guide and direct the people gathered here to find God's purpose and mission for Marian Christian Church?
I will, God help me.
Will you faithfully fulfill the duties and responsibilities of your office, serving in the church, caring for the congregation, carrying out the ministry to connect, serve, and grow?
I will, God help me.
Congregation of Marian Christian Church, please rise together, if able, to affirm your covenant with these elders, deacons, and trustees whom God has given us. As one voice, everyone, please respond to each inquiry, we do, God helping us. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, do you receive in the name of the Lord these deacons and elders as duly elected and ordained servants of Christ? Oh, there it is. Do you promise to encourage and pray for them, to labor together in obedience to the gospel of for the mission of the church, the welfare of this world, and the glory and honor of our Lord Jesus Christ? Please join me in a word of prayer. God of grace, pour out your Holy Spirit, gentle as a dove, burning as fire, upon these servants who have answered your call to be deacons, elders, and trustees of Marian Christian Church. Fill them with grace and power, spirit and compassion, faith and peace for this ministry. Empower us, your church, to support and pray for them in their calling, to love them and forgive them when they stumble, to follow them when they lead. Lift up this church of yours that we might endeavor to seek your spirit, live your purpose, and further your kingdom. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we do pray. Amen. Be faithful in performing your duties. Magnify the one who has called you to these high and holy offices. Be zealous for the church of Christ, hospitable, prudent, upright, devout, and self-controlled. Love goodness, holding always to the mystery of the faith. Do good. Seek justice. Rescue. Defend. Plead. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the only head of the church, I declare these individuals called forth today ordained to the office of deacon, the office of elder, and the office of trustee. Thanks be to God now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.